What's happening, everybody? You're now tuning into the Producer's Corner with Spud 2 Titan. Today, I have a very special show for all you guitar players out there. So today, I have a returning guest who's going to share with us some of his new toys that he's experimented with and had the opportunity to use in his live sessions and recording sessions as well. And he's also a very talented player himself and has taken his guitar playing to another level using these new tools. Please put your hands together and welcome jazz guitarist Steve Oliver. How's it going, Steve?
Hey, it's Bud. Great to talk to you again.
Oh, man, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
Oh, man, it's my honor. You know, Steve, you know, after, you know, we talked last time and, you know, towards the interview, man, we kind of got into some of the details and the specifics with your endorsement deals with Carvin and Axon. And, you know, I just had to bring you back, man. And, you know, for those of you who haven't went to his website, he's got a lot of information out there, a lot of videos displaying what he does with his signature guitars and Axon. It's something that you definitely got to check out. So, Steve, man, give me the details of how when that started, your signature models that you're using and how that's being done and so forth.
Yeah, you know, with Carvin, it's funny. I was at a NAMM show. This is probably going back 6 years, maybe. And I just went, I've been playing synth guitar actually for years since, since the late 80s. I've been always, for me as a player, I've always wanted to be able, to play keyboard sounds, from the guitar. So that was always a goal of mine, to try to create those kinds of textures. You know, I've always loved the artists that kind of took the guitar and made it sound different, but yet add, to the compositions and what they added to it. So it just seemed, it was just like an intriguing thing for me. So about 6 years ago, I went to Carvin, and I was playing the Godans for some time. But they weren't, I don't know, it just wasn't feeling right. So I had some ideas that I've learned from playing those guitars and their synth access and stuff. So I went to Carvin and at an AM show, and talk with the head of A&R over there about my concept and ideas and, playing a nylon guitar where you could, trigger keyboard sounds and then also an electric guitar, too. So I first started with the nylon and just brought it, to their attention and said, hey, I'd like to work with you guys if you're interested. And they were. And they had nothing in their, it was pretty amazing. They had nothing in their line, that can do this. So I thought, oh, this would be really, really cool. And Carvin is such a, they've been around for 60 years and a family business, and that just appealed to me, and everything's made in the U.S. So I thought, this is beautiful. And ever since then, it's pretty amazing. It took us a couple of years to, once we started, the process of getting the guitars going, it took a couple of years of me taking them out on the road and then using them in the studio. To get them, fine tuned, and now they're rocking and rolling. They're amazing. They're great. They're road tested, and they work so great on the road, and likewise in the studio. So I play so much live. So I'm a perfect guy to kind of test them out.
Right.
Make sure they work.
at what time? Give me some time periods of when you started using these Carvin signature model guitars versus some of the other axes that you used. Let's say 15, 20 years ago, when you were doing your touring with the Rippingtons and so forth.
Yeah, well, even prior to, I was in a progressive rock band. I've always been a fan of Yes and Emerson, Lincoln Palmer and King Crimson. Those kinds of bands, and I was in Rush, and so I was in a trio band before my solo career, kind of as a contemporary jazz guitarist vocalist, kind of took off. But I was doing progressive rock and doing a trio, I was always, it's a perfect format for a guitarist to be able to experiment. And I was playing the Roland GR700s. I mean, this is going back to 1988, 89.
Yeah.
And those came out, I was like, I need one. It was the only game in town. Roland was only, there wasn't many companies diving into that technology.
Yeah.
And I remember I was actually at GIT, Guitar Institute of Technology. I attended there in L.A. In 85. And around that time is when these GR700s came out. And it was kind of, it was limited. MIDI was just kind of floating around. And so everything was kind of new, and especially guitar players, for some reason, they just, they get scared from MIDI. They just all of a sudden they hear MIDI and they go, But me, I was like, oh, please, I want to have more sounds for the palette, that you can work with. So I dove into that, and I actually played the GR700 for probably from 85 through, 89, 90.
Wow.
Through those years, and that was my main guitar because it was the only thing that could play synth sounds.
Sure.
So being in a trio and doing bands that had no keyboard player, I was kind of covering both and singing at the same time. So I was doing all these multifaceted things, which weren't, a lot of people weren't, doing that then. And so through that time, I gained that experience from that, of how to play, as a guitar player, playing strings and triggering sounds. It made me actually a better musician and arranger and a sound guy, because it forces you to be a different kind of player, triggering, you don't strum and play a flute sound, it just doesn't work,
Right.
So it makes you think of the instruments you're playing, and that to me was valuable information, as a musician, as a songwriter. You're not going to put on certain patches you just can't play like a regular guitar. You have to really think of those sounds.
You do.
And how to trigger them.
You do. As a keyboardist, man, that's really why I lean towards the keyboard is by trade.
Right.
To me, I think there is a difference between a piano player and a keyboardist, simply for the fact that you do have to make those instruments come alive. I mean, like you say, you can't strum a flute, and on the keyboards, I hear a lot of guys playing 10 chord progressions on a trumpet sound. I'm like, man,
right.
I was like, man, this is not it's not a piano, man. You're using a trumpet sound. It should be more single note staccato,
Right. Like a horn player would play. They can't play chords, So
Right.
Oh, yeah. Totally. And the same thing with the guitarist, because I think people, obviously with the keyboard, you're able, with 10 fingers to play all these, things. And guitar players, are kind of limited in a lot of ways because, we only have, basically one hand kind of playing chords and tapping or whatever you can do, sure, to make as much sound. But you definitely, it makes you a better player, when you're triggering different sounds and just playing guitar sounds, distortion or clean or wah-wah, whatever you're playing. It's always been intriguing to me, being able to trigger as much as possible from the guitar,
So the CDs that you've created in the past, let's say within the past 10 years, how much of that are we hearing the Axon? And, since you're able to track these and multi-track these days, there's really no need for an additional band members on certain sessions, I'm sure.
Yeah, and a lot of times when I'm writing, when I'm recording, a lot of the sounds are coming, I'm triggering them from the guitar, a lot of the keyboard sounds. Sometimes I'll bring in a piano player, to play, like a piano player would, because you want that kind of, and you want their style and their personality onto the tracks. But I love, a lot of the pad sounds and orchestral sounds, I'm triggering on all my albums from the guitar, and I've been doing that, the past 10 years. And in fact, I'm doing it. It's funny, right now I'm actually recording a new album where it's just guitars, and everything. It's kind of a Windham Hill type album. I'm doing a real, it's a really cool kind of project that I'm working on. But I'm triggering all the keyboard sounds from the guitar, so everything you'll hear on this new project, it's all guitars and sounds, everything's coming from that. So I've always wanted to do that, because there's not a lot of guitars out there playing not only regular guitar sounds, but triggering synth sounds.
Not commercially, I haven't. Like I said, you're probably the first guy I've spoken to that's really using it on CDs and performing it live, not at a demo show. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think a lot of guys are kind of leery about stepping outside that box and really taking that next level like you have, man. And like I say, the videos that I've seen, It was unbelievable. The only experience I have on, I played on the Roland GR20. My cousin has the Roland GR20.
Track,
you know, and it's cool, but I just wasn't as happy with the patches out of it, you know.
Right, and that's the other thing I've run into. I'm still using, which they don't make anymore, the GR33, which is by Roland. It's kind of the older version of the GR20. But the GR33 is, you can program and arrange, you could change the sounds completely to make them more, you know, like a real piano, you know, working on the piano sounds. You could really dive in. And on the GR20, you can't really do that, which is kind of a drag, because I had the GR20 also and experimented around with that. But you can't really program the sounds as much, and that's kind of limiting. But I know why they did it. You know, Roland did that product. It's a little smaller, and I don't think as many guitar players really know about keyboard sounds.
Right.
So they don't really go into the older, get in there and really kind of program a piano sound when they're a guitar player. So I think so now they just made it real easy. Okay, this is the sound, that's all you get, you know, kind of a thing.
Right, yeah.
But it does have MIDI on it, so you could trigger MIDI and still go out of there and trigger it into any keyboard motifs or.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a MIDI guy, so I'm already thinking, if I don't like these particular patches, I could, you know, run a MIDI chord out of it, go into like a motif ES rack, or maybe get even a little bit more sophisticated and run it off my VSTs or my audio units
off
my computer and try, you know, trigger some of the sounds that I have as a soft synth in there. So yeah, if it has that capability, man, that's just phenomenal.
yeah, exactly. And as you know, then you're not limited to just those stack sounds in that board, you know, that you're using. So if you're just using it as a controller, I mean, it's, you know, that's kind of what you can do also with the GR20.
Now, have you done any type of percussion tracking on that? If like using some of the percussion sounds, have you triggered that at all? Or
yeah, you know, live, I actually. And, you know, I use synth live on probably every song when I play live. And actually, there's spots in the show where I'm doing percussions. I'm triggering percussion sounds from the guitar. And it's really fun with my percussionist, you know, or drummer that I'm playing with. And it's just a kick.
Wow.
You know, it's just, you know, in each string that you're playing, that's another great thing. You could assign different, you know, kind of sounds for each string. And as you go up the frets, you know, the sounds change. It's kind of like going up the keys, you know, where different keys will, you know, hit a tabla or a bongo or a conga. So you can find those on the, you know, on the frets, and then, oh, there's the conga, and then just remember, oh, yeah, if I play here, you know, on the A on the fifth fret, you know,
right,
I'll trigger a conga. So you just kind of learn, you know.
Wow.
As you go. And
how's the latency though when you're strumming? I mean, is it quick as you're when you're hitting the notes, or is there a little delay in there?
You know, they've got it down now, and that's a great thing about the Carvin guitars. That was one of the things that I worked with Carvin on, and actually Graphtech makes the electronics for the Carvin guitars, and they're a great. They make all the saddles and the MIDI stuff for the guitars. And what they do is each string now, I mean, instead of having a pickup, you know, that usually goes on the guitar, and then it's kind of like, you know, picking up the string as it's strumming. And
it's
not as good because now what the Carvin guitar is, the NS1 that I play, it's sitting on the saddle. So as soon as a string is striked, it's actually picking it up. So it's not like coming from a pickup, you know, that you're strumming and there's a little latency, you know, it's not really sure where you're at sometimes. But when the string, you know, sitting on the saddle, it knows exactly where you're at, and it's picking up everything you're playing, it's picking it up. And that's what's great about the Carvin guitars, you know, that I play. There's no latency at all. And it depends on the sounds, because you can adjust, again, kind of like on keyboards, you know, when you play and, you know, you want the strings to swell, and, you know, you could program all those kinds of things. So you can put the latency in there if you need it musically, you know, for orchestra sounds or whatever you're playing. But it's, and the Axon, what's great about the Axon, I use the Axon a lot in the studio because they really have the tracking. I mean, it's unbelievable. I just go out of this little box. It's called the AX50. And from there, I plug into, from my guitar, my 13-pin cable that I go from the guitar into the Axon. And then I MIDI into, like, the motif. And it's, the tracking is stellar. It's unbelievable. I mean, they really dialed in that for the tracking.
Wow.
So when you play a note, you know, you're on a piano, you're playing it, and it, and it's even picking up the sensitivity, just like when you press a key, you know.
Sure.
So the harder you hit, the harder, you know, the softer you hit, it responds to that.
Wow, so you got velocity triggering in there. Nice.
Total velocity.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've really got the technology down now.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's phenomenal. Like I say, sometimes it's a hit or miss on some of those that I'm playing with, and I was like, that's nothing where I would gravitate yet. You know, but this
yeah.
is, you know, 10 years ago, you know, but not, and I'm sure it's came a long way since then, so.
Oh, big time.
You know, what was your mission to create your signature guitars? I mean, there's so many other guys out there who have their own signature. What was Steve Oliver's mission to creating your own signature guitars? Because one thing that stands out to me, other than your phenomenal playing skills, is the tonality of your guitar.
Oh, well, wow. Thank you. You know, I've always been into like a personality sound, you know, with artists, you know, like, you know, like Pat Metheny has a sound. Carlos Santana has a sound. You know, you find a sound that works, you know, and I've always loved the nylon, you know, guitar sound, you know, of, you know, some reverb with a little delay, barely in the back. And so, you know, in recordings, you know, after years of just doing, you know, the more you dive into sound, you just figure, you find things that you like and you gravitate towards that fit the song. And a lot of times, being a songwriter, I try to find things that fit the song. You know, if it's an electric guitar needed, then I'll play electric too. And, or nylon, vice versa. You know, some songs just are, you know, total electric. Oh, this is an electric, you know, sound, mm-hmm. you know, clean. I've always loved clean sounds being the melody, you know, the melody, it, you know, as the, in the, you know, real clean so you can hear it.
Sure.
And then underneath there, though, you could put, you know, chorus and distortion on chords or whatever, you know, to make the song, you know, develop.
Now, do you and add so those, I, those? Do you add those sweeteners after it's tracked or during your tracking, like distortion and chorus?
Yeah, a lot of times it depends on the song, but I'll hear it right out. I mean, that's what's weird about me is I'll hear what the song needs. It just kind of, wow, this needs this. Let's try it. You
right.
know, so and I have no fear in trying. So. And I think all guitar players, you know, that's what you need to do. Experiment with sound. I mean, you, and then all of a sudden you find things that work, you know, and that becomes your sound, if that makes any sense, you know. I
totally,
mean,
totally.
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of guitar players, you know, that are afraid to try things. You know, they get set on distortion sounds they like and then clean sounds for chorus or whatever, you know, and that's about it, you know, and they don't really realize, man, you can, you know, it, man, you play a chord, and then all of a sudden you get an orchestra sound with it. You're going to hear things completely different, you know, from the guitar as a guitar player, and that's what I've always found. And you know, and then all of a sudden you find how sounds work within that song, you know, arrangement, whatever you're working on, you know.
Right, and I think it'll sit well in the mix too. I think sometimes distortion, it's not hard to mix, but it's just so aggressive in the mix. You know,
right?
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't want to, you know, compress it too much. We're squashing the heck out of the track, but it's like, man, it's just
right.
so loud. And it's like, man, it's, you know, it's nice to get a guitar player who's really got a clean strat. He's looking for the mellow, clean notes where I can actually hear the chord. You know, not assume
yeah.
what's in the notes and what's, you know, fresh you're picking, because there's so much distortion, it kind of, I can't hear it sometimes. So
I know, and distortion, and the more sometimes you put on, a lot, you know, sometimes you, you know, it clutters the mix.
Yeah, and you're doing, you know, a lot of harmonics, and it's like, man, okay, I got you.
Right, and then everything, it gets kind of lost and washed out.
Yeah.
You know, I find just, I do a lot of things in stereo. What I'll do is I'll record like a guitar, a left, hard left, and then hard right. And basically a rhythm part, you know, it would be a rhythm guitar part. And so it gives that bouncy off feel, you know, so you lay down a guitar part and you do it a little different when you do it, you know, on the hard right track, you know, and
right.
I like experimenting with that. So then things will bounce off each other, you know, kind of clean sounds work great that way with guitar, you know, that way, you know, you get a balance. And that's always fun to do. And I'm just a sucker for sound. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I'm always, you know, been influenced by guitar players that get an amazing sound, like Alan Holdsworth, you know, and he's actually a Carvin artist himself, too.
Wow.
He plays Carvin guitars and worked with Mark Kiesel on guitar. But he's about, you know, kind of coloring sounds, you know, with his chordal mm-hmm. stuff, you know. And I've always loved that with guitar players that, I really dive into that world, you know. That's always attracted me.
Well, I was going to say, for your color, man, are you using any type of outboard processing before you're hitting the converters going in, or is it just going straight in from the axon?
Well, actually, what I'm using a lot is the VG. Right now, I was using the VG88 guitar system, which is made by Roland.
Okay.
And since then, I've had the VG99, which came out about a year and a half ago, or almost 2 years ago. And that's my main rig. I don't even use an amp on stage. I mean, and for studio, a lot of times I'll just go straight out of the VG99 right into my studio console. And it's direct, you know. And I've always done that with nylon guitar, too. I just go direct. You know,
yeah.
either from the VG99, if I want to get a little sound, you know, sometimes or I'll just go, you know, right out of the direct out of the VG99 and then into the mixing console. And then I get a direct feed, you know, but it's coming through the processors, you know, a little bit from the VG99. It just has something about that gives it a sound to it.
Yeah.
And then we add reverbs and stuff later. I always go in dry. Record
okay.
everything dry,
yeah,
and then do everything in post, you know, mixing or add the colors from there.
Got you. No, it's been working out well. Like I said, I mean, your CDs are just impeccable for their mix. So, and you know, your guitar is just one thing that really stood out for me as far as your tone. And like I say, everybody has their own signature tone, but yours is so thick, it's creamy, and it just sits really well in the mix as the lead instrument in the song. So, man, hats off to you.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. Wow. Yeah, a lot of that is to my mixer that I work with, George Landris, who's mixed, gosh, probably five of my seven albums.
Yeah.
And George loves, you know, reverbs and delays of how they bounce back and forth. It just spreads, you know. He's really good at that and sound, too. And he's a guitar player, so he knows what he's going after too.
Now, who does your live song? Because your live shows are just really crystal clear also. I mean, that's, you know, to be able to pull your shows off with the quality that you have, man, that says something. So that's,
thanks. You know, what's funny is that's part of the reason why I'd use the VG99 for my guitar sounds, because I could program my sounds in my, you know, right there. It's internal, has a program, you know, if I want less reverb, less delays or whatever, and I could totally assign all my guitar sounds in that box, and then I go direct. So somehow with guitars going direct, it just speaks, it comes out. You don't have this loud amp on stage,
right.
So the sound guy is not fighting, you know what I mean? You know, a lot of times when you have a real loud stage, you know, it's hard to mix for the guy out in the house, because he's getting all this stuff, you know, coming from the stage. And I just love using monitors, you know, stage monitors, and I'm fine with it, you know, for my vocals and the guitar. So everything I do runs, it's just direct. And that really helps for a good sound. It's easy to mix. And I've had a lot of the sound guys always say that, God, your guitars sound really good, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just spend a lot of time on programming the stuff in advance, so when I switch my guitar sounds, everything's there. And you know, if I want to use a distortion thing, it's there, and it sounds like I programmed it. And you don't need an amp to bring that out. You
nice.
Know, you just got, you know, the processing of the Roland gear, you know, with this VG99. Oh my gosh, it's amp modeling, so it's endless. You can combine any sound with anything, And that's, again, I'm using the 13-pin cable from the Carvin guitars and just running. That's what I'm triggering. So the sound is just thick and rich, and I really like that thick and rich sound as a guitar sound, you know.
Right.
It's my main guitar sound anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, and, you know, and you were saying about mixing. We actually use different mixers. In cities, you know, a lot of times we don't bring a sound guy with us. We'll use the house guy at every venue.
Oh, that's cool.
And it always works out. So that's my theory as a touring musician, to make things easy for the sound guy, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's bad, man. You get those nightmares going to a new spot.
You know this.
Yeah, it's all too well, man, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah, I know. And then sometimes, you know, you take a sound and it sounds great in your studio, and then you take it out in the live environment at a show, and it totally changes. It doesn't sound as good. And you're kind of going, wow, why? So then you take notes, and then you go back, and then you just give it a little more EQ and to your guitar sounds and program it in, done, you know?
Right.
So you that's what I do a lot, too, and you know, just fine-tuning it. And it's fun to be in control of that sound as a guitar player.
Oh, totally. Instead
of relying on the sound guy, you know.
Everybody relies on the sound guys, and it's a pain sometimes. Even when we do, you know, we do the pre-mix, we do the rehearse. You know, you're trying to give everybody their cues, but man, I still like having that control as a keyboard. It's like, man, I need volume.
Right, and that's just great as a keyboard player. I mean, you're all about sound.
Yeah,
I mean. You know, all keyboard players, I mean, multitasking. I mean, I think one of the hardest gigs in a band is a keyboard player.
It is.
Because
I won't say it's the hardest. It's because, you know, I don't want, you know, guitar player directors and bass player directors coming at me. It's like, hey, man, our job is just as hard as yours, you know. I think it's the setting. The setting, you know, getting to a new environment where you don't have your PA system with you.
Right.
You know, so that's why I try to create a portable rig where all I need is just the monitor. So, like, man, just give me the monitor outs. I'll get into your speakers. I got everything pre-programmed. My templates are set up. We're ready to go. But, you know, like you said, you get into an environment where you got a 16-channel board, no outboard effects, everything's dry. Like, oh, okay.
I know.
Let's make it do what it do. So.
Yeah, and then my thing is to, you know, to not rely on the sound guy and make it easy for him, and then you'll sound good. You
totally.
Know, yeah, you kind of, you know, be your own sound guy ahead of time.
Right. Well, Steve, I know you got some touring dates coming up, man. Are you going to be displaying the Axon and your Signature Series guitar on stage?
Absolutely. At every show I do. That's what I do. I even demonstrate it in my shows of what I'm doing. I'll play a piano sound from the guitars, and, you know, I let people know, because I don't think people really know that a guitar can do trigger all these sounds, because nobody really does it, which is really bizarre to me, and I've always found that frustrating, you know, being a guitar player and then talking to guitar players, and they're kind of, you know, you talk to them about it, and they kind of look at you, you know,
like it's
cross-eyed.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Yeah, it's like, what? you're doing what?
Right.
It's like, guys, this technology has been around for years. In fact, I've had so many guitar players come up to me after shows on festivals, from George Benson to Norman Brown. And they're asking Chiele Minucci, who's in a group called Special Effects.
Yeah.
And they're coming up to me, asking me, what are you doing? What are you triggering? What are you using? And I feel like I give backstage at every show, you know, I'm kind of, you know, guys, you've got to do this. I always try to encourage them to dive into it and use this stuff on the road, because it would make, you know, it would make their lives easier, and they could be more creative and have fun for themselves, too, as a guitar player. So, you know, they're always asking me questions, you know, backstage. You know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Yeah, and I love doing that, and I love explaining how it all works. And that's why I love what you're doing with your show and, you know, and exposing this kind of information to people, because it's very important, and I think it's it hasn't been promoted that much, you know?
It hasn't, and I think from a creative standpoint, I think every musician gets to a point, it's like, you know, I'm kind of not in a box, but I'm kind of writing the same material I had before. And a lot of it, to me, I think is tones. I think tones and
yes.
certain sounds inspire people to play differently.
Big time.
You know, so if you have a larger library, oh, man, you're endless at that point, you know. So this just really adds to your arsenal as a guitar player, in my opinion. And I had to have you back and talk about this.
Oh, thank you so much. And as a keyboard player, you know, because you deal with sound. And you just play a chord, and all of a sudden you, oh, my God, I hear a song, you know.
Yes.
And it sparks creativity. And same thing with guitar. I mean, you could play a chord on, you know, regular guitar sound. Oh, okay, I've heard that 100 times. But then you midi it and play the same chord, and you're like, oh, what was that? You know,
yeah.
It's inspiring. And it, trust me, it inspires me all the time. I mean, to write a new song or, you know, just because of the sound.
Definitely. Well, Steve, man, it's been an honor again having you on my show, educating me and the audience about this new technology. For all you guitar players out there, you have to jump on this ASAP. I mean, this is something that should have been done yesterday as a player.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
So, again, man, thank you for all the knowledge. And, again, you definitely got a spot here, man. I'm going to have you back. You got to school me on some new stuff that's out there, man.
Oh, anytime, Spud. Thank you so much for what you're doing, and thanks again for having me.
Oh, you're, man, the pleasure's all mine, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you.
And good luck to the future, man. I'm waiting to hear that new CD again, brother.
Yeah, yeah. And all the best of your adventures, too, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right.
Take it easy.
You too.
Okay. And a big shout out to Steve Oliver for coming on the show and chopping it up again with me. Like I said, man, this was a dedicated show for all the guitarists out there. I just felt that was a need to cover this information, you know, stepping outside the traditional way of playing guitar and adding different patches from different keyboard manufacturers and modules. You know, so it just gives you that creative edge when composing and practicing different licks that you might have heard before because of the tones and the patches that you now have available to you. You know, this past summer, the last time I spoke to Steve Oliver, he's had a lot of success. You know, he's really a true visionary when it comes to composing and performing. And because of that, his hit single, Fun in the Sun, was number one on Billboard Smooth Jazz charts for 8 weeks and number one on the Indie Smooth Jazz charts for 22 weeks. And four songs from his Global Kiss CD was in top rotation on the Weather Channel for more than 8 weeks straight. So on behalf of Carvin Guitar, Steve Oliver will be conducting demonstrations on the NS1 guitar synth at the 2011 NAMM Show in Anaheim, California, January 13th through the 16th, and I have the honor of being their guest at the 2011 NAMM Show. So I want to give a big shout out and a thank you to Carvin Guitars and Steve Oliver for making that happen. You know, this is my first time attending a NAMM Show, you know, so I'm really excited to get there and check out the new equipment that's coming out, and you know, also get a chance to chop it up with some of my musician guys that will be in attendance as well. And for more information on Steve Oliver, you need to check out his website at www.steveolivermusic.com. again, www.steveolivermusic.com. and information on Carvin Guitars, check out their website at www.carvinguitars.com. www.carvinguitars.com. And to get information on the Axon guitar MIDI synth pickup that he uses on the Carvin Guitars, their website is www.axon-technologies.net. Again, www.axon-technologies.net. And for my past and current interviews, you need to hit my website at www.spud2tight.com. Again, www.spud2tight.com. And I'm also available on iTunes as a podcast. So if you have a PC or a Mac, an iPhone or an iPod, go to the iTunes store, type in the Producer's Corner with Spud2tight, click on my image, and you'll have a list of my past and current interviews as well. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening in. Until next time. You guys keep it tight. Peace.